This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 119. We'll be going through five or six different scriptures today, as a matter of fact. So if you can't keep up, at least write them down. They're all pertinent to what we're talking about. But today's opening scripture is from Psalm 119, and it's verses 9 through 12. And it says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? All the young men in the church, listen up. And the old ones too. Okay, that's all right. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Amen. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you just to be with us today. Lord, I ask you to bless the reading of your word and may the meditations of my heart and, Lord, the words that I speak, may they just strengthen and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, every now and then get in the middle of just praying to God for Him to bless this church and bless me and bless the message today. And it's His Word. And it gets powerful. It gets powerful. Well, last week we talked about, again, being the first half of the year, it's over. What have we done with that? And what are we going to do with the second half? And we talked about repairing and taking care of ourselves internally. Because we have a hard time helping others if internally we aren't okay. And we continue on with that theme today. And today we're talking about how God transforms us. And God transforms us in different ways and through a multitude of ways. We're going to cover just a couple today. But last week I said, remember, playing church is an external thing. Being the church and being the hands and feet, that's an internal thing that we do. And that's a connection we have with God. We had the men's breakfast yesterday morning. We had some leftover food, and generally we'll dole that out. But I went back and packaged that up, and I thought, let me go downtown and give this to people who don't have this. And I went downtown, and not knowing what I was going to find, and really not knowing who I was looking for other than some hungry individuals that wanted some food. And I thought, okay, I passed a couple. I gave some food out. And then I thought, okay, let me go down here. I thought, this construction downtown is amazing, by the way. That's all for progress. I appreciate that. But so I had to pull in a place and turn around. And as I was turning around, I looked up like, oh, my Lord, here's two churches in front of me feeding people. So I got out and I talked to them. And I said, who are you with? I'm Pastor so-and-so, and we have a independent interdenominational church, and we just want to find a way to be the hands and feet of Jesus and maybe find something that we can do that's a little greater than what we're currently doing. And it's hard to do that as an independent church in a smaller church, but maybe we can partner with other churches to do that work, to do God's work. So I talked to one church. They're an Assembly of God. Doesn't bother me any. Great. Have their information. They're down there three Saturdays out of the month. Ran into a United Methodist church. Oh, where are you guys located? Aren't you on the north? Yeah, great. Got their contact information. He said, you know what? We're here the second Saturday of every month. All year long. They give out toiletries. They give out food. They give out clothing if they have it. And they said, we can take resources. We can take money. We can take people. He said, if you have someone that just wants to show up, just tell them where we are and then come show up and help us. Guys, I keep trying to tell you, we don't have to have a big group of 30. By the way, I love when 30 show up at the food bank. That is amazing stuff when we do that. But these are ways that if you want to help, hey, Adam, you know a place where I can just go help. I'm feeling called to do this. Yes, you can go down here. You don't have to sign up here with these folks. I said, just show up and tell us you want to help. And it's being the hands and feet of Jesus. I said, we want to be intentional about leaving a bigger footprint in our community where we are. I've re-contacted the two schools around here, Barnes and Schwartz. One didn't return the call a few months ago when I tried to contact them. One, we played phone tag for a month and never were able to connect. So I called them back and said, please call me. Again, we're trying to see what we can do. And it's about being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's about being internal. okay? I had stuff to do yesterday. Hallmark movies, right? Had to be careful that I didn't get busted in that. But it's no big deal to go down there. And when you look at these people and see what they're dealing with and what they're living in and living with or without, and we think we have needs, mercy, it gets tough. So today we're continuing looking at repairing our internal self, but it's about how God transforms us. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as you're turning there, the first way, we just read about it, the psalm we read, it says He gives His Word for us to be read. So He transforms us through His Word. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So the first thing he does, and there's going to be five different things I give you. The first thing is reading his word. Or really, it's his word. That's how he transforms us, through the reading of his word. Okay, and if you need that again, it was Psalm 119, verse 9 through 12. Now we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. And there's a lot of reading, but it's important. It's important that we read and understand this and break this down. And it says in verse 17, it says, therefore, better listen up when it says therefore, right? If anyone is in Christ Jesus, say anyone. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Say is. It doesn't say maybe, could be, should be. It says he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We talked Wednesday night about our salvation, and Dale made it very clear, and he pointed out some clarification. He said, once we're saved, there's nothing more we can do to be saved. We're saved. The other part, though, is our responsibility of what God expects from us. And so this says to anyone, that means any one of us, doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what we were born into, born out of, born through, any one of us who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away, they're gone. Now we have to be careful. When we accept Christ, we may still have our old habits, and we'll look at that in just a minute. And we have to be careful that the enemy doesn't attack us and say, we don't have to worry about that, it'll just be gone. We have to work on these things. And it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God, who was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What does it mean if we're ambassadors for Christ? It means we're His representative. We go to others representing Jesus Christ. We have to work on that representation. As a church whole, not prayer faith, but as a church in whole, we have to work on that representation. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Way number two that God transforms us, He made us a new creation. He transforms us by making us a new creation and transforming us when we accept Christ Jesus. Think about the road to Damascus. Think about the blinding light. Why do you persecute me? You talk about transformation. And he acknowledged who was speaking to him and who was doing this to him, because he said, Lord. He transforms us by making us new when we accept him. Now flip over a few chapters towards the back of the Bible, and we'll be going back and forth actually in these next few books in between here and Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. And we think sometimes, I've accepted Christ, I've made it, that is good enough. good enough to a degree, good enough to make it into the book of life, good enough to make it into heaven. But as we talked about Wednesday night in Bible study again, we have to think, when we've accepted Christ and we go meet Him, and we think this is our life, this is our life to see how we live life there. Because all our work goes through the what? Goes through the fire. Everything we've done, everything we've said, it goes through the fire. And so we have extra work to do once we've accepted Christ. Colossians 3 verse 5. And it says this, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. We have to remember, as we're pointing the finger at other people, judging them, oh my goodness, it says, the sons of disobedience, in which we ourselves once walked. Because we used to live in that before we knew Christ. We can go in and we can measure different degrees and say, well, I didn't live quite like that. Again, we're judging. We walked in disobedience ourselves. And it says, but now you yourselves are to put off these. You are to put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised. And it says, when we read this, it says we are renewed and transformed through and in knowledge. So the third way is in knowledge. The third way we're transformed is in knowledge. Put these things off, and you've put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge. So our new man, the transformation into the new man, is in knowledge. It's not enough to sit and listen to Pastor Eric or myself teach and preach. It is not enough. It is not enough to sit there and watch TV preachers teach and preach. You have to dig into the Word, and you have to open it and read it. And where you don't understand, I would write that down and ask someone who knows, not someone that says, I think, you know, and we can think certain things that will be our translation and our interpretation, but there's some people just truly taking a guess. I think it means this, or I think it means that, and they're off. They're not accurate. So we have to be renewed, or we are renewed, through and in knowledge. We have work to do. It says put off these old things and get into the new things. When we do those things, we have to pay attention. Now let's go back to the very first part of that chapter, verse 1 through 4. And I like to read it, but I like to go backwards for some reason, because it sheds light on what we just read. So Colossians 3 verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Amen. Number 4, He transforms us when we seek. But when we seek what? When we seek those things which are above. Verse 2 says, set your mind on things above. So the fourth thing that transforms us is seeking those things which are above, or setting our mind on those things above. We're transformed when we're not looking at the things of this earth, when we're not looking at self. Man, I thought I was going to have a partner up here on the stage helping me preach. Man, I'd take that in a heartbeat. All right. We have to seek things that are greater than ourselves, greater than our flesh and outside of our flesh. Amen? We have to get through those things. Now, turn backwards just a little bit to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Go back a few pages. Ephesians chapter 4. And these things are all relating, and it's talking about our transformation when we've accepted Christ and we've received the new man. And we're to put off the old man. And we're transformed through knowledge, in and through knowledge. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, really through the end of that chapter, through the end of chapter 4, I didn't want to read the whole thing. But as I studied and as I went through it, I thought, it's all relevant to what we're talking about. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Wow, those are people that in theory were part of the church at the time. But it says, man, they've separated themselves from God. They've alienated themselves from the life of God. Verse 20 goes on to say, but you have not so learned Christ. For if indeed, let me stop there. You have not learned Christ. As I was studying, that threw me off. We have to learn Christ. And we have to know and remember who He is to us, but also who we are to Him. When we slow down and look at this, these things will start to pop out to us. You have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. So Jesus is out there teaching and preaching the same thing. Guys, you cannot act the same way. You have to act a new way. You have a new life you have to lead. Concerning your former conduct, you have to put that off. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I love that. And the mind is where a lot of things start, right? So we have to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's not just we have this new man and he's going to make me look different. No, you're going to look the same. But you're going to act differently. And that's what will make you look different to others. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That it may impart grace to the hearers. We have to live a life of grace. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, Eric asked me the other day, how do you deal with your job where you deal with a lot of angry people about every time I answer the phone? I don't know that I had a good answer. Sometimes I hope to get reconciliation and resolve an issue they had. But I have to constantly, when I go into a call that I know is going to be very bad, I take time to pray before I pick up that phone. I really do. God, help me receive this in a manner and respond to it in a manner that edifies them and that brings clarification. Even if they're not happy with the answer I give, Lord, that you keep me peaceable and keep me from getting angry, keep them from getting angry, keep us all level-headed so that we can bring light. it's hard sometimes to let those things go because we want to be angry and we want to hold a grudge and we want to make that person understand clearly. But God says, when you're a new creation, there's no need to do that. I don't need you playing traffic cop. I don't need you justifying your actions. I don't need you taking care of them. I'll take care of them. And I might even let them live to be 115 years old before I take care of them. But in the end, I'll take care of them. You see, I'm the judge, not us. I mean, it's God speaking, not me. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And we're to put these things off. Did I give you number four? Transformation. Seeking things above, right? I hope I got the right number. Okay. Number five. How God transforms us is by putting off the old ways. He's given us the new man. That's great. Put on the new man. He's given us. That's one way He transforms us. But He transforms us when we put on the new man and put off the old ways. You ever see someone wearing several layers of clothing? And that's kind of like you get the new man, but we've got all these old ways and we haven't taken off the old clothes underneath. And they're all puffed up and you're like, good grief. We got 20 layers under there. And God says the same thing. He says, man, you've got 20 layers under there and I need to peel those back one layer at a time. And we need to get to the new man. Because under that new man that's on the top layer is all the old funk. And it stinks. By the way, teenagers, when you put on 20 layers of clothing, that's not masking the funk. Okay? You still smell it. Everybody smells it. You're not masking anything. I don't care how much Axe you spray around you, it still smells. Well, it's the same thing with God. He says, guys, I don't care that you put on the new man and that you're playing church, the external thing. Man, you still smell on the inside. You've got to put off the old ways. You've got to peel those things away. Those are hard for us to do. You know, every day God desires to meet us. Every day He desires to meet us. And He desires to make us new. And He's just waiting for us to wake up and say, God, I need to be renewed today. I need to be renewed. But He wants to meet us. He desires to make us new. The Bible verse, I was thinking it this morning as I sang the song. Jan, I think you mentioned it in prayer this morning. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And I think about the other verse that's been on my mind for last week. And it says, arise, shine, for the light has come. And He says, man, I'm here, but I'm new every day. And every day you have to arise and meet me. We talked Wednesday night about cleaning house. I said, how many have done the spring cleaning, fall cleaning, winter, whatever season it is? Big cleaning. Most people raise their hand. Why do we do it? To remove the junk. To get rid of the stuff that we think we need. I love that. We think we need these things. And we want to remove those things. We need to take a step back. Take inventory of where we are in life and what we're doing in life. And it's hard to do because we enjoy a lot of things that we do. Keeping in mind that they don't have to be bad. They don't have to be evil or sins. I mean, good grief, if I enjoy watching 8 hours of Hallmark movie, that's not a sin necessarily. But do I have better things to do with my time? Don't answer that, wife. But it doesn't have to be sinful. It just has to be, is it a good use of your time? So my point being is we take inventory of what we're doing. We have to clean house. But why do we have to do that? I prayed as we started, God, help us to make room for you. We have to make room for God. We have to give Him first place. Everyone say first place. Okay? That's not just a trophy we're going for. That's a place we need to put God. We need to put Him and make Him first place in our life, not last resort. Say last resort. We got to put Him first place. And that's hard to do sometimes. We can't just give Him the leftovers. Let me run through the five things that help us transform our lives. His Word. Guys, we've got to get in it. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. We've got to understand it. Through that reading comes knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Number two, He makes us a new creation. Number three, through knowledge. Number four, seeking those things from above. And number five, putting off our old ways. We have to choose. We have to choose. And it's not good enough to choose it tomorrow. We have to choose today to stop living in our own strength. God, I can do this. Remember, we talked last week about the medicine. You go to the doctor, and the first thing is you walk out and say, well, I'm not going to get the prescription. They don't know what they're talking about. Okay? We think we know better. They give me this prescription. It's just so they can sell that, and they probably get a kickback. And all these things we say. The other people, they go, they say, oh, let me get the prescription. They get it. They sit at home and never take one. Third group is the people who take half the bottle. They think, oh, I feel better. They said, take it till I'm done, but I feel better. I'm done. And they just give half their time and attention to the healing. And the fourth person is the one that goes and they get the prescription. Doctor told me to do this. I'm going to obey the doctor. Ooh, I feel better now. But now I'm taking it till the end, and I know that inside I'm better. It doesn't have a chance of coming back through there. Think about it. We have to choose. We have to choose to give up ourselves, and that's tough. We have to choose to give up ourselves and live in His grace. It's an uncomfortable place sometimes. I don't know what His grace is like. I haven't experienced it. You have, but you haven't recognized it yet. Hang on, that reminds me, I wrote a note in here somewhere and I obviously blew right past it. Give me just a moment. Oh, it's right there, right where I was. What do you know? Okay, I think I have a system down. We have to get out of self. And my wife told me a story the other day and I thought, oh, that kind of ties in with what I'm talking about. Let me see if I can work that in there. Getting out of ourselves and living in His grace. We don't recognize it at this point. I haven't recognized His grace and what it means to me. When you become familiar with God, all of a sudden that will come aware, very aware to you. And she told me a story about a lady who wanted her daughter, wanted to make some beans, and her daughter said, well, I don't want those beans. And she said, well, you're just not hungry enough yet. And I thought the same thing. When we have to give up ourselves and quit living for ourselves and choose to live outside of ourselves, we have to choose Him. Well, I haven't done it yet. You're not hungry enough for God's will in your life. You're not hungry enough for God's transformation in your life. Because you say, ah, I don't need it. I don't need those beans. I've got other stuff to eat. That's fine. But at some point, you're going to be starving to death. And you'll be looking at God going, where are those beans? God, because I want the beans. We're going to close with two scriptures real quick. Galatians, if you would turn in your Bibles to Galatians. Go back in the Bible. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Church, do you believe that today? Do you believe that? I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. You've got to be hungry enough to eat those beans to say, God, I need You. I'm tired of living in myself. And then Philippians, if you go towards the back of the Bible, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is just something that I want you to know. As we talk about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And that, by the way, that transformation comes through the power of God, not through the power of ourselves to do that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it says this, and hopefully you are familiar with it. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right.